This is Janet Culler, and with Becky Nixon in her office in Duval, it is June 7th, 2018, and it is a cloudy day. And Becky, thank you so much. I'm going to put this right here. It has a little red light on. I hope that's okay.
Yes, it means it's recording.
Okay. Yes. Well, can you tell me about when you first arrived in Duval? And what brought you here?
I arrived in the valley, Snoqualmie Valley, in 89. We built a house on the Tote River. And then my ex-husband got transferred to Oregon, Hillsboro. We were there a year and a half, and we came back. And we moved to Duval instead of Carnation. So that was 95. And I loved Duval. Mm-hmm. I loved Duval then. I love Duval now. Mm-hmm. It has changed a lot. In the 90s, it was more of a farming community, but you could see that the influx of new families was coming. The schools were starting to get more kids. Cooper, no. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really interesting, beautiful time. Everybody was familiar with each other. We got to have Sunny Rothschild was here. She had Gardens and Sun Spaces. Where the Grange was,
yes,
and she was very instrumental in starting Sandblast. Your Chamber of Commerce had Margie Coy and Susan and a bunch of the old-timers that were great, great, great people. And then your Civic Club had Ruth Subert and Lee Green, Edna Wallace, Verl, Beau, Velma Hill.
Can you say Sunny's name again?
Sunny
Rothschild. Yeah. And just like it sounds then, yes. Rothschild.
And so she used to have things for women on Saturdays. You could go in and she'd have different speakers of herbal medicine or naturalists or massages or something.
Oh my gosh.
She was a very Renaissance woman.
Okay.
So I can see the 90s plainly, and the downtown was just the downtown. They didn't have that building, the center there. They had the bank, but they didn't have the Duval Square that Neil Coy built in 2000. But the rest of the downtown looks pretty much the same.
Was that bank a bank? The one that
it was a bank. Yes.
Okay. The one that the studio Bijou.
That was the Bank of America.
Okay.
And it was there, and then the bookstore was there, and you had to go over and get cash, because the bookstore only took cash. And I remember that quite well.
Go to the bank.
Go to the bank, go back to the bookstore, yeah, go to the bookstore. And then in about 2000, everything started changing. People came in, and you had an influx of homes previous to 2000, and during 2000 to 2001. And a lot of young families from Microsoft moved in. Mm-hmm. And those people also started buying businesses in Duval and renovating them. I know that the Chases own where the hardware store used to be, where Match Wine is. Mm-hmm. And they renovated that. It's full of new businesses and still is. Mm-hmm. And then what else is coming downtown? A lot of the businesses have been renovated by tech people. Shotzi's Flower Store was renovated, and Red Pepper Pizza, I believe, was. So there's a lot down there that has been renovated. Mm-hmm. Duval Tavern, mm-hmm. later, in 2007 or 2008, was renovated, and the sign came down, what, about 5 years ago, of the Gecko, and the Duval Tavern sign came.
So a lot of those buildings are very old.
Very old.
And they've been around.
1925, 1909, yes.
They really needed some renovation.
They did, because businesses couldn't go in, yeah. because they were so old you couldn't get insurance on them. And so it revived.
Yeah.
And then in about 2002, I became mayor, and we started updating what's called our comprehensive plan, which is our rolling 20-year plan that municipalities, state, have to have. So it rolls forward, and you do all your planning in this document for your city. So it's broken down in segments: transportation, utilities, signage, planning, public works, and I was lucky enough to get in on the downtown and old town planning. And we used to have 65, 70 people come to those meetings, and they really helped shape how the city looks now.
Planning meetings.
Oh, correct. Okay. And we hired a gentleman that wrote a book called Front Porch of America, I believe it was. I can't remember his name. I wish I could. And how people no longer hang out on the front porch. They're in their backyards, and so it's kind of hurt how we interact with our neighbors.
Yes.
And so we kept that in mind.
It went from front porch society to back deck.
Back deck, backyard, yes.
Back behind the fence. And
so when we were planning Main Street, and it's been fun to watch it come to fruition, instead of looking like Monroe, where you go downtown and there's parking lots and strip malls, our Main Street will go into our old town, and then now it has, as of this, 2018.
All the way.
Yes, and it's zero lot lines. So the buildings are in the front, and the parking's in the back. So it's very walkable. You can enter from the front if you're walking, you park in the back.
Yeah.
If you're driving. So it's more of a welcoming, community.
Uh-huh.
And I love that.
Uh-huh.
And it's difficult for Duval. We're on a major Washington State Highway.
Yes.
So to get through all the regulation and partner with the Department of Washington State Department of Transportation to get done what we've gotten accomplished, it's not one person, it's all the citizens and all the council members and all the mayors from Glenn Coons forward, and really seeing a vision for the town. It's been a lot of fun.
Glenn Coons started when?
He was two terms before me. And then there was myself, and then there was Will for two terms. Three terms.
There's something there.
I think he was 1990 through, 1992 or 1994. I'm not sure. I don't know Glenn well.
And then you were?
2 to 6. And then Will.
1992?
2002. Oh, 2000. To 2006. And then Will held three terms.
Mm-hmm.
And now Miss Amy Ockerlander. Mm-hmm. So, very pleased.
And who were the women mayors before you?
Jeannie Baldwin had one term. And I'm not sure of the first one's name. But she was quite a character from what I understand.
She started the library, the old library, I guess.
You know what? And that is probably, that and the sewer system is what I am the most proud of when I was mayor. When I became mayor, I'd been in civic club for years because I was the communications consultant for the school district for 2 years.
Oh,
so I joined civic club. And that's when all the old movers and shakers before that term even became popular. Those women were amazing, and they are the women that built Duval. And so I'd been in civic club, and so the Laura Ritter and Catherine...
Yes. Yeah, I've interviewed Laura.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were the librarians, and so when I became mayor, I found out that King County had been in our building for years, and we were doing the maintenance on it. They weren't paying a dime.
Mm-hmm.
A dime.
Yeah.
So instead of, I went in and talked to the ladies and said, mm-hmm. okay, ladies, we've got this situation. King County, what do you want? And they looked at me and said, Becky, our little library has more usage per capita than anyone. We want our own library.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we slapped, market rent on it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next bond, we were there. They put us in that bond. Mm-hmm. And that was in 2004. And one of the things I'm most proud of is we made a library board.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a lady as president of that, head of that, and her name is Paige Dennison. And Paige Dennison should be credited with keeping the library in Old Town. And I mean that.
Keeping the library in
Old Town. No, Old Town. They bought a place out. They bought a place on Main Street.
Oh, over by Safeway.
They bought a place by Safeway. And they finally got it. They kept saying, no, we don't want it there. We want it in Old Town. That's where it belongs.
Walking.
Yeah. And sure enough, they kept it there. It was completed, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? And it was the flagship. It was the first one with their fast internet, the art, the renovate. They used reclaimed materials. It's got a living roof on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could not have asked for a better one. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing. The other thing I think I'm the most proud of is the sewer. No, seriously, I'm very proud of it.
Duval was first on that, way ahead of Carnation, I understand.
Duval was the second one in the nation to have that type of sewer.
Wow.
And that sewer won the National Department of Ecology Award. It produces Class A water. They built one off Willows for the golf course there. But Duval was, there was one in, I think it was somewhere way in the East Coast, and then Duval's.
And what is it called?
It's used membrane technology. I'm with someone.
Okay.
Thank you. And so it uses membrane technology, and it produces Class A water. So what we did is we put the outfall of our sewer out to the middle of the river, and then it feeds with fish on either side. So it raised the level of the water with cleaner water, and made it better for the fish. But at the same time, the membrane technology, if we ever put the purple pipes in, which I would have loved to have seen on Main Street, you can use reclaimed water for irrigation and just about anything.
Oh, that would be perfect.
And in Arizona, 27 breweries are on reclaimed water, and they're using it to brew.
I hate to see water wasted.
So do I.
Yeah.
But how we got, the interesting thing is the financing. It was one of the reasons I ran for mayor. Vera Bull came to me and she was very upset. We had been in moratorium, self-imposed moratorium, because they had allowed building without really watching it too much. So the Department of Ecology was going to put us in moratorium, so we self-imposed it from what I understand. That was the previous mayor.
Mm-hmm. And Velma?
Vera Bull had five lots and she couldn't build on them. She was very worried about that. So. By extending the outfall when I was mayor, we could have a lottery and build to 77 more units. And she got one, but because she couldn't build on all five, she gave her allotment back. But they were going to charge $126 a month just for the sewer. That's not the water or the storm water. So I was just appalled. And I will just say that we decided on a different route when I was mayor, and Will Ibershoff ran for council the year I ran for mayor. And he came up with an idea to get a lobbyist and to ask for money from the state to get this sewer, which produced membrane technology and was so new and innovative. So Will and I, our staff, made a brochure. And Will and I went to Olympia. And for the head of Ways and Means, Gary Alexander, we would talk about economic development and what it would mean to the town. For the chair committee head, Hans Dunshee, he was very environmental. So we talked about what it would do for the environment. And unprecedentedly, we got $4 million in the state budget for that sewer. And then we got a Department of Ecology loan for $9.2 million, repayable after 2 years after the sewer came online, repayable at 0.05% interest. That sewer is paid for this year with no increase to cost to the citizens.
Wow.
And it was a testament to everyone working together, because Will and I were very new. I had never even been in a council meeting when I ran for mayor, and he was new. He'd been here about a year and a half, maybe longer. And he had never run for public office. So the council was very old. They were the people that had been here. And it was kind of a push, because, you know, they had always had people that had been here a long time. And they were used to a certain style.
Yeah.
And to their credit, they said, okay, we understand. And they backed that $7,000 is what it cost us for that lobbyist, and we got $4 million for the citizens of Duval. So it was a very innovative idea from Will Eibershoff, and everybody worked together to get that. Very collaborative time. I miss those times.
Okay.
No one had a personal agenda. There was no partisan politics. It was truly for the benefit of Duval.
And okay. And how did you decide the priorities then?
Planning. What you do is you plan every year. You have planning retreats twice a year. And you
it's
plan.
It's a process.
It's a process. You plan for the next year. You plan your budget for the next year. You plan what your priorities are for the next year. The hardest thing to do as a mayor or a council is to follow those priorities, because you have changes of the guard during those times. Somebody else comes on, they're new, they're excited, they have things they want accomplished. Problem is trying to get them on track of what people thought for the previous year and what the priorities were and are, because when you start jumping around, you take away from the actual doing of a small staff in a small town. So we've had great staff here, absolutely wonderful staff. I can't speak highly enough about the different staffs we've had over the years. The consistency of Laura Thomas from when I was mayor. She's the director of planning, and she's still with us. And we have some people that have been there 20 plus years. And
does she have a academic background in planning?
Yes. And funny enough, through the years, after also personal friendships, her husband is the mayor of Monroe, and he works in partnership with us a lot. When I became mayor, our little city had never been to Association of Washington Cities or Puget Sound Regional Council meetings or anything. And I was advised, there was 8 female mayors on the east side then, and they mentored me. It was Ava Friesian. It was...
And they were from where?
Issaquah.
The King County Council, did you say?
No, these were all female mayors.
Okay. Of other towns.
Other towns.
On the east side.
Yes. Connie Marshall was probably the most helpful to me. She was mayor of Bellevue. Ava Friesian was mayor of Issaquah. Alice was mayor of Kirkland. Mary was mayor of Medina. And then Yvonne was mayor of Carnation.
You mean Mary Alice Burley?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
She used to ride her Vespa. Her little Vespa.
Yeah, I know who she is.
Do you know who she is?
Definitely,
She's one of my favorite people.
From Kirkland. So.
Oh, are you?
Originally. Yeah, I mean,
yes.
For the last 35 years.
I love
years. Yeah.
her.
Yeah.
And Larry was before her. Larry Springer, who's our representative.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm very close. And then Joan McBride.
Oh, yeah.
So, what my time in office did was bring Duval from old to new. When I first moved out here, people that had lived here a long time resented newcomers.
Yes.
And I was still a newbie, because I had only been in the ballot since 89.
I really got that from interviewing people.
Yes. And so when I was campaigning, I literally quit my job, and my ex-husband had bought me a car, a very expensive car, and I sold that very expensive car, and I bought a 74 Volkswagen convertible, bright red, that I put magnetic signs from RP Signs down there on Magnetics Premier.
You were advertising yourself.
Yes, and I went to every household twice. I walked it. I lost a lot of weight.
I think Amy must have taken after you.
Amy,
she came around at least twice.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Amy is amazing. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to know what people wanted. And what, down below, I found resentment of changing of the way and traffic and increase.
Sure.
Up above.
Change in general.
Yes,
I don't understand.
But up above, I found a real disconnect with the local government, and they wanted to know what we were doing about this, what was this, what was this about, what was this. And I started a new job the day before I was elected. I became an insurance agent. which is pure commission, just like I've always worked pure commission jobs, and except for the school district job. So it was a little crazy, but and I had two kids, and I was single.
How old?
3 and 13. Yeah, no, he was older than that. He was 8. No, you know, 5 and 15. I'm trying to think of the exact times.
Yes. Yeah.
7, 17. Interesting times.
Yeah.
So they were raised in public service. It's really, you just took them with you.
Okay.
And so does Amy. I think that's the best way to raise people for the next generation in public service is to take them with you. George Bush, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, made a statement and that has stayed with me for years, and it says, public service isn't a job, it's a calling. And but
it's a
feeling.
It's a response to people who realize the privileges, the responsibilities.
It is. I had no friends.
Why have we been given all these privileges?
Yes. I didn't have friends. Mm-hmm. I think women are better at that than men. Men have a tendency to do favors for their friends. Women, I did no favors for anyone. And I didn't make... you don't make a lot of friends that way, and you do make some enemies. But you break down the old guard. And I think that's where women are different than men. Women see a collaborative picture. We've been in PTAs, we've been in Sunday schools, we've been in clubs. And to get to that part, you all have to work together on committees. You all have to work together and delegate. You have to work collaboratively to get to that place. That's all of your agenda. I've watched it over and over and over that a lot of times when men get on council, one will be far right, one will be far left. But by 6 months, they're voting together.
Interesting.
Very interesting. It's very interesting. So even though I went in as a Republican, I came out as a Democrat because Republicans kept asking for favors and saying that they needed the favor. And I would say, I'm sorry. The rules apply to everyone. And I still don't have signage on my building or my business. Because when I'm in office, I would hate to use my office as a way to...
Yeah, but now that you're not on the council, you should...
I'm going to, but they're selling the
sign people?
Well, no, they're selling the buildings. Aww. So I don't know who's going to come in. I don't want to spend thousands on signs and they're going to come in and raise my rent. So I'm waiting.
It's a nice space.
Yes, it is. I have been here since 2008. And previously I was in Neil's building from 2003 to 2007. I was in Everett for a year learning commercial and how to have a multi-line. I have 27 carriers and a lot of it's commercial. Where we were small, there was 3 of us, and now there's 192 people that have Pacific Crest. So it's been fun. Anyway, it was a very, the people really made it amazing when I was mayor. We'd have cleanup days and have 125 people. They painted City Hall. They painted the yellow paint on the side of the streets. They painted the fire hydrants. They made the parks. The other thing I'm very proud of as mayor is, and staff and council, is we built Judd Park. And that was the first new park in years. And
it's very appreciated by the moms and the little ones. Yeah.
Taylor's Park over there had been vandalized and burned. And then the sports fields were done by volunteers. And so we put another million something in when I was mayor. And what Will has done in the council on the last one, on his last term, making that into is amazing.
The Duval.
Well, it won't be playing in the mud anymore. It's actually going to be used. And it looks to expand. It's just too bad that we can't expand that park like we want to. But there's another one coming with the Toll Brothers that will be a big park. So I'm real excited about that one, too. But how we did the parks... everybody but the staff, we were all trying to decide how to do these parks. What should we do? And back then, they had Moms Club. There was 90 women in those Moms Clubs. I mean, it was huge. So Steve Schuler was head of Public Works, and so we were talking one day, and he said, what about the Moms Clubs? I said, you know, Steve, that's an excellent idea. And Doreen Booth-Wise was a City Hall administrator and planning director, and so she contacted them, and we had them come down and pick and plan all of the swings and everything in those parks. Mm-hmm. They picked it, and it had to be commercial. They had ownership. And so they did all three parks. They did Taylor's Park. They did Taylor's Boat Launch. That was redone. I'd like to see that go a different way. Nobody uses that one because it's down there and it's kind of...
Right.
So I think it's time
kinda
to...
Kind of creepy.
Kind of creepy. So I think it's time to look for a different use for the city.
For that space.
It has power down there. I think we should make it more of a place where people could come in the summer and actually camp.
It could be a shady picnic.
Something.
Shade.
It has a nice structure in there that we redid. But it needs to change. Anyway, so we've had no vandalism or anything in those parks. And the Boy Scouts, the other thing I really enjoyed doing as mayor was for the first time we allowed all the Boy Scouts, and we actually continue, the city does, council and mayors, we actually budget for Eagle Scout projects. And
They apply.
And they did all of the... They did the pergola in Judd Park. Mm-hmm. They did the fire pit next to the fire station. Yeah. They did the pergola behind it. They did all the balcony and all the decking around the depot when I was mayor. Mm-hmm. They have done so many things for the city, and now they're doing the dog park. Mm-hmm. And those young men are amazing. My son went all the way through. Mm-hmm. And there's several troops, and all of the troops, as far as I'm concerned, are great. Mm-hmm. And the Girl Scouts, too. And we're really proud of the fact that we can partner with our Boy Scouts for their Eagle Scout projects. And now the young women will be having the new Eagle Scout projects, too.
Oh, good.
Because
they're going to join.
They've joined. They're letting them in. So, so those are the things I really am proud of. Mm-hmm. Probably library, sewer, parks, inclusiveness were the things I've enjoyed the most.
Tell me more about inclusiveness.
The newsletter that people still get in there with their water bill. Mm-hmm. I started that.
Uh-huh.
We had the first website. And they were crude by today's websites. But you know what?
It went out there.
Mm-hmm. And it was a way for people to know what was happening within the city and to get documents. Mm-hmm. And then pay bills. You know, I think they had to pay a certain way. I mean, it's so antiquated. I mean, we had the first website, and you could actually have a Duval, City of Duval website, and they still produce that newsletter. Mm-hmm. The newsletter I wrote, mm-hmm. and the first page was, okay, this is what's happening, this is what the city is doing, do you have any ideas, this is what's coming up. Mm-hmm. The back of it was completely to educate. Okay. And that was a huge thing.
Issues.
With, just everything with government. Because government is so convoluted and so ridiculous and so overburdened with laws and acronyms. I mean, everything's an acronym. WASDOT, DOE, DOT. I will tell you that I had told staff, and I reminded Amy not too long ago, when you're in a meeting or you're talking with the public, don't talk in acronyms. Mm-hmm. You say the whole name. I don't care how many times you have to say it and how that name applies to working with Duval. Mm-hmm. Because the DOAs are, and they sputter it off because they're used to it.
People
don't know what it is.
And then it feels like it's foreign. And
yes.
And they don't have any influence.
Yes, yes,
these
yes.
These are people, policies made by us, too.
Yes, it is. And to let people know what's coming. Because so many times these proposed things, little signs go up. The only way you know what it is if you walk up and half the time there's no parking to walk up to it and read it anyway. But people need to know because people get very upset when these new developments come in, but some of these developments were vested before I was mayor. They're still out there. They still haven't come in. And that's what we call it when they are coming in for their permitting process and review. They may not come in for another 20 years. It's just very interesting. So people used to get very upset, and we used to say, well, they don't say anything until the bulldozers are already there. So it was very important to me that people understood what was going to happen. What was coming.
You have to see it over and over.
Correct. Over
constant
and over
repetition.
And over. Correct. And that they could come in and say their piece or go to Planning Commission and, and have a voice.
And that's why they came.
Yes. We were packed. It was a very interesting time.
This is the 90s.
This was 2002 to 2006 when I was mayor.
Okay.
They came to the council meetings, and we literally had packed meetings. We had meetings where they were all the way outside, and we had to have doors open and speakers out. And that, to me, was the most exciting thing. The inclusiveness, that they had a voice.
You had, yeah.
And I loved that. And I probably would have gone for a second term, even though I told people I wouldn't. But I got very ill. I got an autoimmune. I swole up. It started with hives on the bottom of my feet. And it went up my legs. And then it got in the soft tissue of my face. And I remember one, and it would start about 4 or 5 in the morning. They never knew why. And I would swell. My face or my lip or my throat. And one morning I woke up, my tongue was so big I had to hold it to breathe. And I didn't want to go to the emergency room because you only have one day, you know. My daughter came in and she was very upset. So I was seeing several doctors to find out what it was, and they put me on prednisone.
Oh, sure.
Oh, not good.
It's really a tough med.
It wouldn't hold it. So I was taking 2 Allegra in the morning, 2 Zyrtec in the morning, or 2 Allegra at night, and my histamines were attacking. And the more stressed I got, the more it occurred. So my last year I resigned, and I guess this can go on. I really wish I would not have done that, because I think I would have preferred to have died in office as to opposed to what a couple of the male council members were saying.
Wow.
And they could get away with it.
To see what happened when you weren't the mayor anymore. Because
yes.
Now, looking back, you know, we see what happened.
Yes. So, it's very difficult for women. There's a lot of men. We did fine until we went over the 5,000 mark, and we had to appoint two people. And there was 2 men that were appointed. I won't say anything else, except they had their own personal agendas. One of them ran for office within 3 months of being appointed, and then when he didn't make it against Larry Springer, he ran again against our other guy, I really like him, Roger Goodman, and he was defeated there again. But he had political aspirations, and once those weren't realized, he took it out on me quite hard because I would not support him at all. And he had to leave council because he was having an affair with a council member, and he was married. But those two gentlemen changed politics in this city forever because it became partisan.
It was no longer collaborative. You used that word before. Collaborative.
It still isn't, to the point. It's partisan.
Party politics?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They were very big into the party. Kirby Wilbur was here, who I just adore.
Which is not supposed to be partisan.
No, we run on nonpartisan. This town is supposed to be nonpartisan platform for elected office.
Yes.
And it's no longer that way.
So people make it known where they stand.
By their deed and actions.
Yes.
And it's polarizing.
wonder,
it's getting better.
The impact, though, of what is going on in the larger world, too.
I think
the polarization.
I think it started grassroots, like that, and then those type of feelings and bigotry became commonplace, and then it led us to where we are now, which is upsetting. My son is gay, so
I have a trans adult daughter.
Do you?
And she actually moved back in with us. So,
well, my son's partner is trans.
She walks around Duval, and for a while she's moved in with us to go back to school. She's
good.
In her 30s.
Good.
But it's interesting.
It is. I love my son, and I am proud of his partner.
Yeah.
Avery is a wonderful young man.
Yeah.
And it's taken a lot, and it's supporting parents. And
very amazing person. Must be such a strong person, and both of them.
Yes.
As is my daughter.
Does it make you proud?
Yeah.
I know.
It's scary.
It's
scary.
It's scary.
It's scary.
I know.
And,
you
know,
you always worry. We're in a bubble here.
Yeah.
You know? But even then.
I wanted to talk to Amy about how can we take, because I know I was involved a little bit with Indivisible last year. I know they went and the city council passed a welcoming community, and so did Carnation. Coming from Kirkland, I know that council had retreats on what does that mean and has had a lot of public involvement. What does it mean to be a welcoming community? How do we want to do that? How do we want to further conversations? And that was kind of my goal. I was on a little focus group called Valley Initiatives, and I wanted to do like interviews of people, but kind of get to what do they mean by a welcoming community. Because I know, like from my daughter's experience, but also reading like next door, I'm not big on Facebook, but there's been harassment of young Hispanic kids in town.
I saw that.
You saw that on
next door. I almost feel that those were not Duval lights. Because they were walking down the road, and those people were screaming those from cars.
Yeah, it could have been.
I'm really hoping that those are not Duval lights. I didn't want to say anything on Facebook because it would lessen the impact of what they were saying. If I would have said, oh, then I would have been explaining away something that should not be explained away.
But just to keep our eyes and ears, and, you know, communities do get together.
Yes.
And hold counter-education things.
I'll tell you, Cedar Crest High School is amazing.
I've heard that.
Oh, they are
I
amazing.
Talked to the woman that is head of the school board.
Oh, which one? I've known so many through that school board,
anyway,
I couldn't even tell you.
She was great.
Yeah.
They
do. They had moments of silence, silence up there and support, and they treated my son with utmost respect. Mm-hmm. Utmost respect. All the kids. It's a very unusual school.
So they did education, and I heard they do it from the grade school up.
They do.
Teaching tolerance.
Yes.
And
but there's something very odd about Cedar Crest. Something about those kids. I have never seen anything like it. My dad was a principal. My mother worked for pupil personnel. She was a truant officer for a while, and it became a superintendent. And I was always in the schools, you know. PTAs and went with Dad. But Cedar Crest is different. It really truly is inclusive, and they care about each other. From the kids that drive the small Toyota pickups that are raised to the kids that drive the BMWs. You don't have the class war type thing. And people really, I love to see the people of color that are expanding our kids' cultural tolerance.
Yeah, and with Microsoft,
and it has to be
introduced
that way.
Richness,
yes,
and international residents here,
correct.
And
a
not
lot,
to be afraid
a
of.
Lot of the people that were here that were intolerant learned tolerance. Those that did not, a lot of them have moved away. A lot of them, like I said, learned tolerance. I think when you see that other people in your neighbors aren't sharing your belief system,
your
if you see it,
background.
Yeah, yeah, you see it over and over, then maybe you start questioning your own, and maybe you start being more open. I know that this town has.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of this town. Very proud.
Then you give me hope. It's great.
We have a ton of couples here. And I can tell you, I'm an insurance agent in this town.
Okay,
of same-sex
couples. Yep. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
And they always feel very comfortable here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I'm proud that our kids are doing well. I'm proud of the fact that 89% of our kids that take the advanced placement classes pass. It's one of the highest in Washington. Mm-hmm. It was when I, about 4 years ago, it was the highest in Washington. I'm very proud that our police keep us safe to be the one, two, or three safest cities. We always fight DuPont for number one.
Well, that's a planned
and
community.
I'm very proud that we do things that bring the community together. You know, when I became mayor, we had a small police force. And their job was to pull people over and write tickets. And when I became mayor, I said, we will no longer do this. Mm-hmm. And of course, I had a lot of opposition from the then acting police chief. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the reasons I got back on council.
You wanted to see...
I wanted a city administrator running the town instead of... Because, you know, Amy's the first real full-time that we've had. We're all full-time, but we're working full-time jobs.
Yeah.
Being mayor is a full-time job.
Yeah.
I went every night and everywhere. And those kids of mine went.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard work.
Oh.
I was paid $1,000 a month, so $800 after taxes. And immediately when Will was elected, they gave him a raise. Of course.
Of course.
But we gave Amy one. Because she puts in over 40 hours.
It's needed.
Yeah.
So
and we
you...
needed it. But I wanted a city administrator.
Yeah.
We're too big. And there's too much now.
Yeah.
For one person. And you needed someone that could... And the chief of police was running the town.
In a pull-em-over mode.
No. Literally running the town.
Running the town.
And he retired, and we hired a city administrator. We had to fight hard to get that city administrator. And he's paid for himself over and over and over and over. You have to keep the city safe. And, you know, when I was mayor to my staffs, the first words out of anyone's mouth, it seems, is no. And I will say that the staff that we had when I was mayor, to their credit, they would always say no, and I would look at them and I said, find a way. Keep us safe. Keep us legal. Get it done. And they did. We had no lawsuits while I was mayor. We settled all the lawsuits that came that were there when I was mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did things I shouldn't have done. You know, I went to talk to the people that we had suits with. And our attorney said, oh, don't you dare do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went and said, what do you want? What can we do? Because it's costing them thousands of dollars. It's costing the taxpayers of Duval thousands of dollars in attorney fees. And they were pretty simple.
How would you call the model now of the police? Is it more
exemplary?
A community listening and...
I hired him as... not a commander, I hired him as the second in command.
What's the name?
Carrie Hurt.
And is it more of a, like, involved
we do
in the
RAD.
Community?
There's a list. We have RAD training, female training.
What's RAD?
Rape something. I don't know the acronym, but we have a waiting list. Shelley, the clerk at the police station, she teaches that. She is an amazing woman. We go to, with Amy, it's back to how it was when I was mayor. We went to every homeowners association meeting.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. It was a prerequisite. You had to go. And the police went. They could ask us any questions. We could take their concerns. And Amy's gone back to that. They don't just pull people over anymore and give tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They do try to give warnings,
mm-hmm.
but they keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
We went into the when I was mayor, we started what was called the coalition. So all these little towns outside of King County, there's 13 of us. And I gave my coin and my hat to Amy. Mm. So we started that, and so we share all the resources. If this town has the best shooter, he teaches shooting.
Okay.
I mean, it's called the 13 City Coalition, and it was started with Enoclaw, Issaquah, and Duval's police chiefs. And it is still in effect. I love what we do now. We're out in the community constantly. Mm-hmm. We have bike officers. We started that. You know, it's just come a long way. Policing is protect and serve. It's protect and serve. And I just keep hearing it over and over. And this police chief that we have now believes that fully. It's protect and serve. It's not sit there and write tickets. Court costs are phenomenal for cities. You have no idea. You're talking hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, reading about Seattle.
Oh, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so you want to keep your court costs down, because you have to have a DVE advocate. You have to have a prosecutor. You have to have a city attorney. You have to pay for jails. You have someone that has a DUI, and they've had a lot of them, and they go to jail for 6 months. You're costing your taxpayers $30,000. So do you just keep arresting these people? Because these people go to court, and they can't pay the fine anyway. So they're supposed to pay the fine. They're supposed to pay the $300 court fee. And they're supposed to pay, and they just keep... The reason I know this is I am the only council member and only mayor that has gone to our court every single month for a year. I did that the second year I was on council. I wanted to see what our court was like. And I went every single month. We are the last city that has an evening court date.
And where is that?
It's at Redmond. We partner with Redmond. The other thing we did when I was mayor is we went away from King County Dispatch and we went with Redmond and we cut our costs in half. And we still have that partnership today. We also took the contract from King County for Carnation. That was when Dave Reichert was sheriff, and he was furious with us. We had to let that go, because what happened was they didn't pass their levies, so they cut their hours of police, so their crime rate rose. So we had one cop there, two cops in Duval. And what happened, this is the truth, and what happened is they got more calls. One of our cops would go down there, because there has to be two,
yeah.
That have another call down there, and they would leave Duval unattended.
Yeah.
And that could not happen. Mm-hmm. So we had to sever the contract. But it was too bad, because it worked. Mm-hmm. We started DARE when I was mayor. We started the school resource officer when mm-hmm. I was mayor. There was things that, because I had been in the schools, mm-hmm. that were very important to me, to have in schools, and those school resource officers are imperative, especially in the high school. I would love to see us in the middle school. I would, because they hear things, they see things, the kids know them, they feel comfortable, they report things. I mean, we actually have done drills with the fire and the police and the schools in case we have a shooting. Mm-hmm. We do drills.
I suppose you have to.
Oh, Cedar Crest fits the profile. So many of the schools fit the profile. Mm-hmm. They all have access to handguns.
Yeah.
We have to keep our kids safe.
Hunting community.
Yes. Community. Yeah.
And just...
So those school resource officers hear that. We've had people tell on other people. We've had kids up there with guns. Mm-hmm. People have told our resource officers. Mm-hmm. Our resource officers have called for backup, and we have taken care of the problem. I'm proud of that.
Wow.
Keep our staff and city and our kids. Yes, that's why you have school resource officers. Mm-hmm. Yes,
the parents.
Yes.
So, what do you think the issues are today?
Affordable housing, traffic. I know we passed affordable housing. We need to work on it more. And our seniors. When I say affordable housing,
yes.
The worst thing I saw that still breaks my heart to this day. Is Velma, Verville, Bo, she had to leave her little house, and she died in Mukilteo, in a group home, in a home. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sorry. Somebody that's lived here 100 years should be able to stay in their community with those that love them and their friends around, and she would have lasted longer.
And
Velma passed in her home
where
she wanted to pass.
She was lucky.
Yes. Yeah. Paula, her daughter, was just amazing. But look at Howard Miller. He helped build Carnation, and he had he passed in North Bend. We need housing that's here for our seniors, and they're working on it. Past Fire Chief John Lambert is working on it with nonprofits that we will look to build next to the senior center down there, some affordable housing for our seniors.
Incarnation.
Yes, but we need it here. We are so...
Yes.
We have nothing here. We have some apartments.
Yeah, but also
but you can't
the
move
design.
In. I know, but
the
you
design.
Can't move in.
Yeah.
Yes. You can't move into the apartments in town if you have a dog. Even if you take your dog to work with you.
And the design.
So they can get in.
I was talking to Laura Ritter about this. It's
ADA,
one of her big things, because she had to move. She said there's so many single, there's so many divorced people here.
Yes.
That have had to leave.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't live in town.
Yeah.
I live with my partner.
And she lives with her daughter in Monroe. She said there was nothing affordable.
There's nothing affordable here. I was paying to stay on council, to make sure we got a city administrator, I was paying $1,800 a month. To stay in town, to make $500 a month, and not have anything to do with my business, to make sure we get this. That's why I resigned. I've taken my turn. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at politics.
Yeah. Affordable, but also the design.
Correct.
To be accessible.
Accessible.
And then some kind of bus. That's the
yes.
other thing.
Oh, we're working on it. People don't use that valley.
Transportation is awful here.
I know. But that's not, the people that come through it are not from here. You do know that, don't you? The people that come, there's 33,000 cars a day goes over Novelty. And those people that come through here are not from Duval. They're from Snohomish.
Mm-hmm.
We're working.
Coming down
yes.
on the way
so
up.
Amy has worked very hard over the years and is continuing to work. I mean, she works so hard on transportation. I will tell you what she's done that absolutely amazes me. So for the Puget Sound Regional Council, you know, has all the big wigs and everything else, all the big towns. I can tell you stories. But anyway, she's got in their planning to improve Highway 202 and Highway 203, and it's the first time it's ever even been in a plan. They're never going to improve Novelty. You're looking at $200 million. There's too many, it's not sound seismically, and there's too many utilities running all over. But what they will look at doing is improving 522 up there to four real lanes, all the way.
Get them to go that way.
Get them to go that way.
Yeah.
The other thing that we're doing that we made the developer do that people do not understand when we have fought so hard in these development agreements is 3rd Avenue is going all the way across to Big Rock. So we will have two collector arterials, 275th and 3rd. We're going to have roundabouts there, but let's route our people as they come through the valley at Big Rock, and then they can go 3rd or 275th over to Cherry Valley and back out that way or back out into the community that way. That's the other thing that I had to fight for. People didn't want the roundabout on 124th, because there was none in the United States, except Maryland, that came from 55 miles an hour to a roundabout. And people said we were stupid. And I said, you know what? If we don't get that, we don't get anything, because they're not going to put a light there. And we got that roundabout, and people said it cut 10 to 15 minutes off their commute time. And we supported that, and we just let them yell at us, and we just said, yes, we want it badly. And we did. Yeah, there were so many things.
So housing, traffic, and seniors.
Yes.
So I would like to see conversations about welcoming. What does that mean to you? And
well, there you go.
Diversity, you know, added to that too.
You know, but you have to come to council and tell them.
Yeah.
You have to tell them. They have set priorities, and they have to get that done. Right now we have an all-new council, right? We have Diane Budnicki and Jason Walker, the only two people that have been on there for any amount of time. And we have all this new, great energy, but they want to do this, they want to do this, they want to do this, and it's very hard to let them know because they're smart and they want to help. But this year's planned, so they keep trying to take us off or take off from planning. And when you do that, you have so little staff that... And their staff is spending hours and hours and hours with these new council members. And you can't get your work done. So Amy's had to be a little stronger than she would ever want to be and say, okay, we're going to have to limit this amount of staff time here or we're not going to get anything done. There is an enormous amount of work to do now. And as the years progress and they put more unfunded mandates on small towns, which are, you have to do this, but we're not going to give you any money to do this. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at an economic development plan. Because housing is not how we want this town to be vibrant with. Mm-hmm. I mean, it actually costs more to put houses in. So you need an economic development plan. What are you going to do when all the houses are built and you don't have that income? Because the taxes are never going to pay for what you need to have done. Infrastructure, roads, it's not. What are you going to do? So that's what they're really concentrating on right now. And I'm on that committee. I got off council, but because I have a business, they transitioned me, and I had been in several of the other meetings as council, as a business person. And we have a very diverse committee. People of color, people of business, people
committee?
Of everything.
Which committee?
The Economic Development Committee, the citizen group. Mm-hmm. The business group, excuse me. The citizen group is different than the business group, so we have council, business group, citizen group. But I can't tell you how proud I am of the people on that committee. They are an amazing group to work with. Love that. So we're moving along, and we're trying very desperately to keep that small town feel, and hopefully the continued reaching out and asking people to come in, because I'll tell you what I found when I was mayor. Mm-hmm. Every problem we have, the answer is right here with one of these smart people in the community.
The resources.
Yes.
Are unbelievable.
Unbelievable. They're working on WAVE right now of improving it and working on the franchise agreement with them. Mm-hmm. And we have some brilliant minds from the community working on that.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's going well.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Wow. That's great.
We have, you know, I asked for help when I was mayor, and the thing that I think touched me the most is how much incredible advice, knowledge, and information was given to us.
Yeah.
Just given to us. Amazing. It really was amazing.
Wow. Wow.
They were just, the citizens made it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
I will never, ever feel more loved than I did with them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I tear it up a little bit with that. But I still love them. I'm still not. I don't suffer fools well, so I have no patience for politics. But I do love this town, and I do love its people, and I love the history. So I see it evolve, and I see what can happen when it evolves well, or if we become fragmented in our own desires and pull it apart. And you cannot do that. Mm-hmm. And if I think that council's doing that, or if I think the mayor is, I will be the first one in that council publicly asking them, please don't do this. But you can't do it when you're on council because it causes too much division. So I'm off. I took my turn.
Go. And I understand you're getting married.
I have no ring. It's the second weekend of next year, but that's not for public knowledge.
You're looking for, it would be nice if you could live in Duval.
We have
a
house.
Works out. Okay.
We own a house here.
Okay.
I could have stayed, but I rented it to the city administrator because he has two kids in school here. Mm-hmm. He has a wife that works here at Hillside Academy, and he was getting up at the crack of dawn to get his kids to these schools, and we need him here, and he is wonderful. Matt Morton and his wife Wendy are some of the nicest people I have ever met. They are truly salt of the earth, mm-hmm. and they're good Christian people. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I can say that because I was raised in the church. I went to private churches, private schools, everything else. They live it. Mm-hmm. And I have the utmost respect for that. My granddad was a Baptist preacher, and I've had dinner with Billy Graham. And I may not believe now what I believed when I was young, but I can admire people that actually live how they talk or what they believe.
And take the values.
Take the values.
Yeah, that are good. Yeah.
And they're not hypocrites in any ways. loving people. So that means a lot to me.
Well, any final words of wisdom?
Don't be afraid of change. Be involved.
Yeah.
Help plan. And then when it comes around and you see the results, it's worth it to get involved. I remember when we got the first comprehensive plan done. It was the first update they'd done in, I don't even know how many years. But to see every little part that we had met on mm-hmm. over the 4 years come together in that book, it's about this thick, and you see all the planning of the different groups there, and that's what you plan your city on. To see it come together, indeed, and to see it stuck to, and to watch it work, was really amazing. Kleenex is in with the. They ran out of toilet paper.
Thank you.
It was.
Thank you so much.
It was a great, great, great time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Close.
Taking me right down memory lane.